Don't move. You're listening to Harpy Hour.
We just want to share another awesome podcast with you first.
So check these guys out and stay tuned for this week's episode of Harpy Hour.
I'm Bree.
I'm Kylie.
And I'm Nicole.
And we're the Perfect Stranglers.
Join us each week as we chat about all things weird, unsettling, and unknown.
Every Thursday, we dive into a deliciously disturbing story involving anything from true crime to demons, cryptids to creepypastas.
No topic is off limits, and no story is too disturbing for the Perfect Stranglers.
Listen to Perfect Stranglers, a true crime podcast, every Thursday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you like to listen.
Harpy Hour may contain explicit language, as well as graphic, violent, and sexual content. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to Harpy Hour.
The harpiest of all the hours of the day.
Ooh, we got a new twist.
Yeah, I'm starting to add to it.
Freestyling.
Episode 76, and we don't have any commitments to...
No.
Our opening jingle.
Well,
I don't think we ever signed off on that jingle. I think
considering it's just my solo. It's just my, like, freestyle solo. I don't think we necessarily need to commit.
Yeah.
I like it. You never know what's going to pop out.
Well, who are you?
Tracy.
I'm Liz.
You don't sound happy to be Tracy.
I just forgot.
She doesn't like being put on the spot.
Well, you didn't say, and we're
being
the heart
put in her place.
You didn't prime her.
You didn't say,
on and you, we're Liz.
My cue was not there.
Also, I'm Steph.
I was just going off of the flow.
The flow.
Liz is also freestyling.
Did I say who I am? I'm Liz.
You did. And I said I'm
okay.
Okay.
I was cool. Distracted by accusations.
Get it together, people.
Ugh. We are the Harpies. And this is our podcast where we share ridiculous stories in history, science, and entertainment.
No more freestyling. Liz cuts you off.
Yeah, I know. The mighty, mighty Harpies. Everywhere we go, people want to know.
We've done that one before.
What people?
Our audience, Steph.
That's how audiences work, Steph. God.
Well, I think they know who we are.
Well, if we're doing anything right, we have new audience members every episode.
Oh, hey.
Hey, girls. Hey, welcome to our shit show.
Sup.
Tracy.
What?
Are you going to talk about something today?
I mean...
I'm legitimately asking because I don't remember who's going right now.
If I must,
it's hopefully
I
not
suppose
me.
I will.
I have nothing prepared. So I hope it's not me.
Today, I am going to talk about roommates with benefits.
Ooh.
Hmm.
Dangerous.
Living with your significant other?
Nope. I was going to say, Craig is
Tracy
not my...
Tracy and Craig.
My RWB.
All right. So it's not Tracy and Craig.
No, it's not. It is not Tracy and Craig. I will not be telling you the intricacies of living with Craig.
Is it Liz and her roommate,
it's
Megan?
Not. It's not.
There are no... I mean, there's friendship benefits.
Do you hear that,
I'm
Megan?
Assuming
no benefits to living
Tracy's
with you.
Tracy's referring to the sexual kind. There are so
well,
many
she could
benefits
just be punning,
to living
though.
With me.
She could just be punning, though. Like, living mm-hmm. with you, Liz, the benefit is you bake and make burgers.
Say, please begin the list. Yeah. No hesitations, please.
Yeah.
It's very obvious.
We do not know these roommates personally.
Okay.
So.
Well, I would think we're not talking about the intimate lives of our friends.
Of us.
I
mean, our
all of your
that
guesses.
Would be really awkward.
All of your guesses are intimate roommates. So. I'm just clarifying that this is not a segment about like our friend group.
Yeah, that would be really niche, and I don't think the audience at large would appreciate the content there.
Hey, you know, Tracy shared that article with us about like people finding best friends like in the podcast that they listen to. Like,
it's true.
We could be their friends, and by proxy, then our friends are their friends.
They find friends. I didn't read the article. They find friends
God
with the people
it,
who host or the with
Yeah,
like amongst they other feel followers,
like an imaginary connection. Friendship.
Oh, yeah, that yes, like yes, yes, I did read that.
Listeners feel an intimate,
yeah,
friend connection with their hosts, and like listen to them and laugh with them as if they're part of their world.
Yes,
I feel like I've definitely felt that before, like during COVID times when we were all hiding out. Sure. I'm like, oh, I'll listen to a podcast because at least it feels like there's people around, which is kind of sad. But
that's really sad.
Yeah.
It's really sad and depressing.
Well, that's the reality.
Yeah.
For a lot of people.
It's reality. Yeah.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Mm-hmm. I mean, at least you hear people talking, laughing.
Yep.
Very sad.
Well, let's talk and laugh.
All right. So today we are going to talk about roommates with benefits, but not just any roommates. They are Joshua Fry Speed and Abraham Lincoln.
Oh my God. There's a book about this that I wanted to read so bad because it was for our like friend group book club. I think the theme was like maybe historical fiction or something, but I came across this book about Abraham Lincoln and his roommate, and I was like, I need to read this. It's like historical fiction, obviously, but based on assumed.
Well, now we're going to talk about it.
So
you're
going to
learn all about it. It's
I've heard nothing about this before.
Okay, great.
This is brand new information.
So most of us know Abraham Lincoln as the 16th U.S. president known for freeing African American slaves. He was also married to Mary Todd Lincoln from 1842 to 1865 when he was unceremoniously, well, kind of ceremoniously, assassinated, and they produced four children together. But did you
produced four children?
Produced. Is that how we call it? You produce a child?
Yes.
You manufacture one. There's a lot of
down
planning, blueprints. Yeah.
But did you know that Lincoln was rumored to be bisexual and had a boyfriend? Let's talk about it.
I did not.
I did.
So his name was Joshua Fry Speed. Joshua was born in 1814. He descended from hemp farmers in Kentucky with a long history of depression and abuse. And Joshua was number 5 of 11 children, which is far too many children.
Yes. 5 is too many children.
I agree.
Stop.
Yeah.
Jeez.
He started, but he never finished college. Instead, he joined a clerkship with the largest wholesale establishment in Louisville, so like a general store. After a few years, he decided to try his luck out in the Midwest, which was, you know, flourishing at the time. In 1835, when he was 21, he moved to Springfield, Illinois to open his own general store in what was then a town of fewer than 1,500 people. So he's an up-and-comer. Up-and-management.
Climbing the ladder.
Yep. He is the ladder at that point. There are 1,500 people in the town.
He is the ladder.
He's the entire ladder.
People just climb up him.
Ooh, sexy. Well, maybe. I don't
know. Joshua Fry. What was it? Joshua Fry Speed?
Fry Speed is his full name. Speed is the last name. Okay.
That's an interesting name. Fry Speed.
Fry Speed. Fry Speed.
The speed of fries. Faster than the speed of fries.
Ooh, I want French fries.
French
fries. I had sweet potato fries last night and this morning.
Breakfast of champions.
Yeah.
Now I realize
when you call
fries.
It sweet potato hash, it's breakfast.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize the subtle difference there.
We went out to breakfast this morning and I had a side of hash browns and it was made with sweet potatoes, regular potatoes, and the Okinawa sweet potatoes, which are the purple ones.
Oh.
So good.
Sounds colorful.
It was, and it was delicious.
Okay. So Speed heard Lincoln speak when Lincoln was running for Illinois state legislature. So Lincoln gets elected to the Illinois General Assembly. Springfield is the capital of Illinois, so it's located there. Lincoln moves to Springfield in 1837. And when he moves, he rented the apartment located above Speed's general store and shared a bed with Speed.
Whoa.
So a few notes on that. Although sharing a, quote, large double bed, that's how it's been referred to, with another man was a somewhat common practice of the time, it was notable that they did it for 4 years, and neither of them dated women during that period. So like in the 1800s, since these arrangements were public knowledge, like Lincoln never denied this, the public's mind just didn't immediately associate sharing a bed with sexual activity. This is also supported by the reality that many married couples of the time slept in separate beds, but still had children. So they were obviously still having sex. So,
yeah, so essential bed does not necessarily imply sexual activity.
Right.
I'm just thinking now how like a lot of men just won't share a bed with another man. Like, I feel like we have friends in our friend group who, when we go to like Outer Banks, and rather than like sharing a queen bed, like one of them will sleep on the floor or something. Yes. I'm like, all right. Like,
because it's toxic masculinity. But
it's ridiculous.
That's a different thing. So back then, sharing a bed with another man was seen more as like a utilitarian practice. According to Wikipedia, somebody fucking counted this, and Lincoln shared a bed with 11 boys or men throughout his lifetime.
How do we have records of that?
I don't know.
Like boarding situations, I don't know, or something.
I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there that it was more than a one-time occurrence.
It's sort of similarly applied to women as well. And I don't know if this was American or like European and like what point in history, but I had read that affection amongst women was never, or in parts of time and the world, was not seen to be like homosexual in any way, because it was considered a safe way for women to practice like intimacy with another person to prepare them for being intimate with their future husband.
Well, yeah, because
so like holding hands and kissing, and like it would have been taboo to have sex before marriage, taboo to be intimate with another woman. So like holding hands, kissing, sharing living arrangements was all considered to be like, oh, like they're not lesbians, they're just preparing for life as a wife someday.
I mean, some of them were dead.
But I mean, was it more than and that's, kissing, I think, and holding hands?
The context that I read it in, of like a somewhat famous couple that like were revealed to be lesbians living intimately together for like a very long time, and they just got away with it in society because they were just perceived to be two lonely straight women who just didn't have a man.
Yeah.
And they were waiting for the moment.
Like a little, like just a little bit. It's notable that Lincoln's contemporaries and political opponents did not use these allegations against him, suggesting that it was like totally culturally acceptable and there wasn't anything going on. So like you would think that if, at least nowadays, if you were, sharing a bed with someone, it would be assumed that you were having sexual activity with them, and it would be, and if it was not someone that you were, you know, supposed to be, that would be a problem, and that it would be used against you. So it is notable that that was never brought up politically.
A different time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's also notable that for a period of time, Lincoln's law partner and later biographer, William H. Herndon, and another man, unnamed, slept in the same room, though not in the same bed. So they had four guys in this room at some point. Herndon once said, quote, "I've slept with 20 men in the same room," unquote. So like, just kind
like
of
hosteling,
normalizing like it. Yeah, just kind of like
boarding house type situation.
Yeah. So he said that this was particularly popular when you're on the road, like Lincoln and Herndon were traveling, quote, the circuit. I'll get to that in a second. And he said that the judges and lawyers, so these are like not, you know, impoverished individuals, would often sleep, quote, two in a bed and eight in a room, unquote. So what they mean by traveling the circuit or circuit riding, it was a common practice in the 1700s and the 1800s when judges and lawyers would travel to a different district to preside over a case there, because not every circuit had judges appointed to it at that time. So this was super common and really only ended in, I think it was 1910 or 1916. So anyway, so they were traveling a lot for that, these lawyers. Yeah.
Well, kind of nowadays, I don't know how prevalent this is, but like even a lot of our current political figures, like on Capitol Hill, have roommates. Like they live with other congressmen. Not saying they share a bed, but you know, their primary homes are in their home states or whatever. So when they're in mm-hmm. DC, they just like rent a group house together. And so you have all these like high,
how many
wealthy
people,
political
though?
Figures?
Usually two. Typically two.
I was going to say not like eight.
Because I remember reading like one representative or congressman, some politico during the pandemic, I mean, which we're still in, but like somebody got coronavirus and then it mm-hmm. spread.
Because
their roommate was also a congressman or whatever. And I was like, huh, okay, cool.
Yeah, my friend who I would carpool with to rehearsals when we were little, his mom became a congressperson for our district. And she was roommates with Gabby Giffords.
Oh. Mm.
True story.
Nice.
Anyway, how speed may have complicated things for Abe and Mary Todd. So for this section, we're going to call him Abe instead of Lincoln because there's Mary Todd as well. Yeah. Okay. So Abe and Mary Todd met in Springfield in 1839. So at this point, Abe is living with Speed. They got engaged a year later in 1840. In the months leading up to the wedding is supposed to happen on January 1st, 1841. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
In the months leading up to the wedding, Abe had a little bit of a rough go. The legislative program he supported in the General Assembly completely collapsed. His law partner proposed ending their law practice. And Speed's father died, so he's back in Kentucky. So Speed decided to sell the general store in Springfield and relocate back to his family's plantation in Kentucky.
Okay, bye.
Yeah. So at this point, Abe is losing his bestie, his job, and his, like, life's work in the General Assembly. So he sings
He's
into
got a lady, though.
That is a rough couple months.
Yeah. So Abe sunk into a really deep depression. By all accounts, he started completely ignoring Mary Todd. Like, to the point where she commented that Abe, quote, deems me unworthy of notice, unquote.
Oof.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good. So Abe called off this engagement on their wedding day.
The fuck, dude.
In what Abe would later call the fatal first, because it was the 1st of January. But yeah.
That's so, like
getting married on New Year's.
Yeah, on their fucking wedding day, he asks to be released from the engagement. Yeah.
Asks
that's
to be
quite
released.
The way of putting it, yeah.
Asks to be released.
That was how it was described because of.
I would like to. The engagement was a contract. Terminate this contract.
It makes it sound like he is like captive.
It's
he
a
would
lawyer.
Like to be released.
I mean, yeah. I mean, back then it kind of was. You know, like it's a contract between not just you know Abe and Mary Todd, but also Abe and Mary Todd's father.
I'd like to break this contract.
That's literally what happened. So, yeah.
I understand that I'm going to have to pay 3 months rent, but yeah. I'd like to terminate this
exactly.
contract, please.
Exactly. So, that happens. They eventually reunited and got married, but it was like a year later, almost 2 years later, on November 4th, 1842, which is 174 years to the day that Craig and I got together. Yay.
Crickets.
Anniversaries.
Crickets.
It is about Tracy and Craig.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
At the time of marriage, Mary Todd was 23, Abe was 33, which, you know, isn't that weird back then. The public speculated that Abe and Mary Todd were unhappy in their marriage because they weren't pumping out babies at the time. The more likely reason is that the evolution of reproductive practices like coitus interruptus, aka pulling out, and womb veils.
Is that just like some kind of diaphragm or something?
I'm so glad you asked. It's a device inserted into the vagina to block access of the sperm into the uterus. Made of rubber, it was a forerunner to the modern diaphragm and cervical cap. Yeah. So those were coming into fashion. And these new practices caused the country's birth rate to go from 7 per person.
Per person? That's crazy.
Per couple, like couple. You mean? Per couple, yes, sorry.
But
per couple.
Seven?
7 in 1800
to, oh my God,
to 4 in 1850. So still really the Lincolns many. Were just being like super contemporary by not like pumping out babies every year, you know?
Jeez.
But at the time, everyone was like, oh, does he just like not, is there something wrong with Mary Todd, basically? Like, why doesn't
he? Of course
he,
it would be her.
Yeah. Like, why doesn't he want to bang her? Like, what is she doing wrong? So, yeah.
What was she wearing?
Exactly. Not enough, apparently. Not enough skimpy
not
outfits.
Anything sexy enough.
Mm-hmm. So that also led to the whole, like,
not showing enough ankle.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, that also kind of fueled, you know, this theory that Lincoln was actually gay, or at the very least bisexual.
When you said, you know, it was her, people thought it was her fault. In my mind, I did like the jizz hands, which reminded me of the yes. fact that our friend did not know what jizz hands were.
I love it.
She knew then, what they were, but not what they were.
Right.
Called,
but by referring apparently. It to jizz hands, she didn't know. So Liz and I tried to Google a GIF.
I was also Googling.
Oh, you were also, yeah. And I was like, well, I don't know the correct combination of words to put into my search engine to find something that is not porn.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just had no idea that like Google Images delivered pornographic images. Like I thought that was a filter that you had to like bypass.
No, I think if you want that filter, you got to put it up.
Yeah.
Well, no.
I mean,
I think you're just raw dogging the internet unless you do otherwise.
Raw dogging the internet.
I think unless you tell them that you don't want to be, you know. Anyway.
Always use protection, internet.
A womb veil, perhaps. I'm so upset about it. It's in all caps in my notes right now. It's called a womb veil.
Veil.
I hate it.
I mean, I understood exactly what it was going for.
Yeah, but that doesn't make it better. Okay, so what happened to Speed? Whatever happened to Speed? In July of 1841, so this is six months after he breaks off his engagement, Lincoln went to visit Speed at his family's plantation in Kentucky. He stayed for a month and was reportedly in much higher spirits when he returned to Springfield. Speed married Fanny Henning in February of 1842, 9 months before the Lincolns were married.
Remember when we used to name people Fanny?
Ugh, horrific. Yeah, that was a lapse in judgment for like a couple hundred years.
Fanny.
The two men wrote letters back and forth to one another leading up to their weddings. American author Gore Vidal said, quote, "I regard their letters to each other as having evinced a degree of anxiety about being able to perform sexually on their wedding nights that indicated a homosexual relationship had once existed between them," end quote.
I feel like that's a little bit of a stretch.
Well, his point was basically like, they were on a level of intimacy where they felt comfortable talking to each other about that because they were banging. That's the theory. I don't know how much I buy it, but that's.
I was gonna say, I don't know if I buy that either. I mean, I feel like the three of us are not in any kind of sexual relationship, but definitely talk about sexy stuff all the time. They might have just been progressive.
Yeah. I feel like you read between the lines what you want to read.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they were.
They weren't plagued with the toxic masculinity of today's man.
Yeah, they were not roommates yet. For 4 years. They're very close.
Yeah.
Sexy or no sexy times.
Yeah. Lincoln offered Speed positions in his administration over the years, but Speed refused all of them. However, Speed's older brother, also Speed, but Joshua's older brother, James, was a lawyer and was appointed attorney general in Lincoln's administration. Speed and Lincoln disagreed on the matter of slavery, but Speed still helped organize Union troops in Kentucky during the Civil War, like just doing a solid for his bestie. When Lincoln was assassinated in 1865, Speed organized a memorial in Kentucky for him. And the Speed family donated money to build the memorial to Lincoln in Springfield, Illinois. And it is said that Herndon, again, Lincoln's law partner, wrote his biography on Lincoln at the insistence of letters written by Speed. Speed died on May 29th, 1882, at the age of 67, which is exactly 139 years before Craig and I got married.
Jesus Christ.
It's just weird that both of those dates came up. Whatever.
I think it's kind of like the kind of thing where you like you talk about a Prius and suddenly you see Priuses everywhere or whatever, you know?
Maybe.
You're just looking for it.
Whatever.
That newlywed brain.
Must be. Okay. Let's talk about a scandal. Well, this whole thing is about a scandal, but let's talk about some more scandal. Okay. So in 1999, we're jumping forward. In 1999, LGBTQ plus activist Larry Kramer claimed to have discovered Speed's diary in the floorboards of the apartment he shared with Lincoln in Springfield. Kramer claims the diary included explicit letters that illuminate the sexual relationship between Lincoln and Speed. As of today, the documents are in a private collection in Davenport, Iowa, and nothing has ever been published from it. It is widely considered by historians to be a hoax. But we have to acknowledge it because we're talking about this. So,
okay.
So there's a probably fictional diary floating around.
Or no diary at all and just a...
rumor of a diary.
Rumor of a diary, yeah.
The mythical diary.
There's also some modern analysis, some modern takes on this. In his book, The Intimate World of Abraham Lincoln, C.A. Tripp, who was a protege of Dr. Kinsey of the Kinsey Scale, attempts to put the matter to rest and concludes that Lincoln was a gay man. Tripp asserts that Lincoln biographer Carl Sandburg left out analysis from his 1956 biography that pointed to Lincoln's sexual relationship with Speed. Quote, streaks of lavender and spots soft as May violets was, unquote. That's the phrase that was used to, like, describe Abraham Lincoln's, like, temperament and his relationship with Speed. Tripp also points to quotes from people who knew Lincoln well. Most notably, Lincoln's stepmother, Sarah Bush Lincoln, told Herndon, the law partner, quote, he was not very fond of girls, as it seemed to me, end quote.
Well, that about settles it. That wraps it up.
Yep. You know, stepmom says, deaf gay. Lincoln was also rumored to have been banging his security guard, Captain David V. Derrickson. Captain Derrickson would share Lincoln's bed whenever Mary Todd was away, and even would wear Lincoln's nightshirt.
I thought you were going to say, wear Mary Todd's. Like, go, no. Nightgown or something. Like, I'm Mary Todd. Sleep with me, Lincoln.
Role playing.
They're not that I'm aware of.
But again, I feel like if it's not uncommon for men to sleep together at that time, and like us, like if I were to sleep over at Tracy's house unplanned, like she could give me a shirt to sleep in, and like it's not weird. Like I feel like they're just looking for things to prove what they already want to believe.
I mean, obviously, this is like a wide overview of like I'm not reading the primary source evidence right now. I'm just reading other people's analysis of what's going on. So yes, I agree with you that on face value that's not necessarily damning, but we also don't know the like why the source material that made these people draw these conclusions. And finally, sexologist Dr. Sylvia Rue, PhD, has rated Lincoln a 4 on the Kinsey scale.
What is the Kinsey scale?
The Kinsey scale measures sexuality. So like it goes from 0 to 6, with 0 being exclusively heterosexual and 6 being exclusively homosexual. Kinsey himself believed that no one is a 0 or a 6, that everyone falls somewhere on the scale. A 4 indicates homosexual with more than incidental contact with the opposite sex.
Incidental.
More than
homosexual,
incidental.
But accidentally slip your dick into someone's B.
More than incidental.
So I think that's like slightly strategic.
Yeah, strategic. Right,
but I'm saying
fucking.
Saying that implies that there is a incidental way of being a homosexual.
Like, yeah, I don't know.
I slipped and fell, and my dick just fell into him. Like,
it might be like casual, like opportunistic or something like that, as opposed to like sought out for.
I see.
Well, reproductive purposes at the time, you know, you're nothing if you don't have a son for, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years.
Scale is reminding me of our friend who says that he is a platinum star homo because he's never touched a vagina and he was a C-section baby.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's as close to a six as you can get.
That's, yeah, he really is. Remember that time that Liz had a crush on him before he came out to us?
I do. Okay.
Same.
Yes. I mean, I wasn't going to use his name, but yeah.
Oh, no. I forgot about that. So did I.
It was so good.
And now, like, knowing him personally, I'm like,
it's like, oh, God.
How did you not see it, Liz?
I don't know. I don't remember that. I remember I had a crush on when we first started kickball.
Nope. I remember this because you were like, we should figure out if he likes Liz. And then I was like, doesn't like Liz, also doesn't like women. I was like, well,
he's a good guy.
Oh my God.
Does he listen?
I don't know.
Probably I don't think he not, does.
No. Platinum star homo. God damn it. Anyway, draw your own conclusion. That's the end.
I totally forgot that.
So did I, apparently.
He is an attractive man. He's very tall. So
that's can see the why only you the thing you use to say that he's attractive.
No, I remember Liz talking about it at the time. She was like, he's about him being attractive and being really tall. And that this is before I met him, so.
I mean, I know tall people who are not attractive, so.
I remember her talking about it.
Amazing. Such a height supremacist stuff.
That's what she's like, oh, I can't wait to meet him.
Liz, you keep trying. You'll get there eventually. You can win him over eventually.
Keep trying, Liz. Shoot for the stars.
You could destroy his platinum star rating.
No, I don't want to ruin him.
Oh, God, I love
he's
it.
He's precious the way he is.
He's a gift from baby Jesus. A very tall gift. Very large gift. You can listen to Harpy Hour on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio. Wherever you listen, please rate us and leave us a platinum star review.
Platinum star review.
Yeah. Also, if you have stories you think we might like, you want to weigh in on the is he, isn't he, Abe Lincoln bye theory.
Also, like, why does it matter? Leave him alone. He's dead.
Well, a lot of
But no, I'm calling for listener engagement, Steph.
No, I'm just saying, why does history care about it?
Well, I think LGBTQ plus community wants to claim him as their own.
I see.
Yeah, and it would open more, like, I think, you know, to have
diversity in politics.
Figures. Yeah.
Sure.
You know, would retroactively be like paving the way.
Yeah, sure.
Tracy, you didn't touch on this, but like when in this storyline did he become a vampire hunter? I was waiting for that to come up.
Oh. Guys, I didn't look that up. I'm going to Google it now.
Yeah, I mean, were they partners in vampire hunting?
Ooh.
Is that another part of his secret life?
Lincoln vampire hunter. Please continue. I'm going to look at this.
So I'll anything you know. That you want to add to the Abe Lincoln conspiracy theory, you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Harpy Hour Pod and email us at harpyhourpodcast@gmail.com.
Ooh, Lincoln fucks in this photo.
What?
He's just got like an axe. Oh. Anyway.
Oh.
Can you share it?
I see what's in Tracy and Craig's role-playing future.
2012 is when Lincoln became a vampire hunter.
Well, that's when the movie came out.
That's what I'm going with.
Is he himself a vampire that came back from the dead in 2012?
And then hunted other
unsubstantiated.
Vampires.
Unsubstantiated.
Oh, well. All right. Next segment, Tracy. Just circle back
There'll
to this.
A follow-up. There'll be
yeah,
a follow-up.
Yeah, do a follow-up, please.
Part two, roommates with benefits. Coming at
Vampire
you.
Hunting together.
Yes.
And we are also on Patreon. So head on over to Patreon. Check out the different tiers that we have. All the different goodies you can get. And please donate to us so that we can put some money into researching important topics like this.
Or recreate it.
Oh. How?
Tracy wants our a own fake movie. Beard, a top hat, and an axe for Craig.
Craig is Joshua Fry Speed, and I am Abraham Lincoln.
Picturing Tracy with like a beard and a top hat.
We can get our tall friend to play him. Oh God, we can get our tall friend to play him.
Oh my God.
Oh.
Perfect.
Oh, we gotta finish up. I gotta plan this.
Tracy's got a script to write. Costumes to plan.
Oh my God. Casting right. needs to be solidified.
Thanks for listening.
Okay.
Okay, bye.